reasons. It's good for protecting bones from osteoporosis and helping prevent.
A good insight to how Gary spends his Friday nights putting those tracks together for us. Nicely done.
Yeah.
A dispute resolution panel by a diplomat from Uruguay ruled that Canada will be forced to end tariffs on U.S. dairy products that will increase sales to Canada from American dairy farmers by over $200 million. I know we're talking leafy greens today. That was a pretty big headline, and dairy and cattle are pretty big on the Arizona Farm Bureau agricultural wheel of dollar receipt value to the state, so that'll be great for America and for the trade. And then, you know, food safety, Cammy, this one, I pulled this out of the Wall Street Journal. I don't know what an agricultural ministry worker is, but that's what these people are, and they are throwing away. I mean, they're throwing eggs into a tractor, skid steer, hundreds of thousands of eggs that they're just throwing away, trying to end the bird flu and what they call the worst, the deadliest wildlife disaster in Israel's history. The bird flu is killing thousands of migratory cranes.
That's heartbreaking.
No, it is. That is really devastating.
So the measures of food safety, it's a huge spectrum.
Oh, right. Yeah. From dairy to eggs to leafy greens, it's... Yeah, all of our food, there's a lot of practices, and I'm glad that we're having segments like this so that we can, you know, get out to our consumers that there's a lot that our industry does behind the scenes on any commodity to make sure that what we're producing is safe for our consumers.
And it really fascinates me, you know, we all remember every now and then, you know, you hear like there's an E. coli breakout or this or that, but when, I mean, when you consider that we eat three times a day and that there's a disaster once every few years. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, right.
It's not even really once every few years. It seems like if it has occurred, it's been like once every decade or so, or even then.
Yeah, and I think that we are just getting really good at being able to track these illnesses and narrow down closer, you know, genetics, where they're coming from, the strain. So,
that makes it good.
Yeah, we are producing what we said over a million.
130 million.
Thank you. I need to get that in my mind. 130 million servings every day that you're eating. So our food is extremely safe. Especially, I mean, if you hear one or two illnesses, you know, here or there, we don't know where in the supply chain that could have happened. It could have happened when it was being prepared at your own kitchen. Mm-hmm. It could have happened, you know, anywhere along the supply chain. So.
One thing I did read one time is the CDC says that most of the time when you get some kind of food illness, it's because of your preparation in the kitchen. So we could do a segment on, you know, how to carefully prepare your food so you don't get yourself sick. So I thought that was interesting when they track those numbers. A good chunk of it has to do with our own home cooking preparation. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
So that's an interesting point, because it's the statistic is Americans eat 130 million salads a day. My mind, it was all, that's what's served in restaurants.
No,
does that count what's made in personal homes? Because
it's factory.
I don't know how you would, you know, restaurants and food receipts. I
believe the statistic.
I can see that's a little bit easier to track than what people are making in their home. And,
yeah.
And of that 130 million, I'm proud to say, and that's daily, 130 million a day. On an average year, I proudly contribute to that number maybe three times or four.
There you go. I'm always.
I should have brought some salad in here then for you, and you could at least add one more.
He could have added it to the week.
Yeah.
Well,
I think you can count it on a cheeseburger. I put lots of lettuce on my cheeseburger.
Yeah, there you go. That's
okay. Now I don't know.
It's kind of a stretch, but we
appreciate
tomato to
tomato lettuce.
Especially if it's real.
Do you actually eat it, or do you put it on the side?
No, I.
Okay, good.
Might be one leaf, but hey, it's lettuce.
Be careful. Cammy is editing you, Romy, to make sure you're actually doing what you say you're doing. No. Talk about what Rousseau Farming Company grows around, you know, throughout the year, 12 months out of the year. What are the leafy greens
grow,
we're going to have?
A lot of these, the leafy green items, the cabbage and the baby leaf, the spinach, kale and chards, romaine, iceberg. But we also grow broccoli, carrots. We do dry onions, parsley, cilantro, beets, and leeks. What else do we do? Lot of sweet corn in the
You're
summer.
You're still doing the sweet
and
corn
then
and then
the watermelons and the cantaloupes. So we kind of, we're a unique company where we don't travel from California to Arizona depending on the season. We stay here in Maricopa County and we just change the commodities that we can grow depending on the weather or
but it's,
the time of year it is.
It's basically the entire cornucopia. I love that word if I say it right now. Of every fruit and vegetable almost that you can imagine coming out of this one farm here in Maricopa County. And Russo Farming Company, they've been around for quite some time. They're a generational farm family. Have met nearly all of them. Good people, love mm-hmm. what they do, okay. committed and passionate about the people they work with and for. It's a really neat family farm. So the other point to that, too, then, is if farms like Russo Farming Company, I think of also John Bolt's, I say, speak of him a lot because I always pull a lot of these statistics from John. Well, his family, they farm in Yuma, and they're doing a cornucopia of a lot of these leafy greens and mm-hmm. different crops throughout the year. Basically, Arizona is planting or harvesting 12 months out of the year, which is a cool thing. Mm-hmm. So and because of that, especially in the winter, when we go into the grocery store, talk a little bit, we're having access, even if it's not always identified. If it's a leafy green, there's a very high chance that in the produce aisle, you're getting it from an Arizona farm.
You're right. Yeah, from the months of November to about March or April, you pretty much, if you're eating it in Arizona, it's probably been grown in Arizona because of just the vast majority of family or farms that we have here. So even though, like you said, it doesn't have Russo Farming specifically on it, it'll have those other larger shipping companies.
Well, and you even mentioned that you guys private label for a lot.
Yeah.
So even if it's not Russo, it still may have come
mm-hmm.
from Russo.
It'll say a Safeway or Fry's on there.
Kind of like your eggs. There's, 12 different options when you pick out eggs, but 90% of them are all Hickman's. They're just labeled differently.
Exactly. No, it's the same thing with produce.
With Russo mm-hmm. and produce. And Roma, you mentioned some of the health benefits, but especially at my age, this is a vitamin that's more important to me. The vitamin K contained in dark leafy vegetables is good for protecting bones from osteoporosis and helping prevent inflammatory diseases. So some of the minerals and vitamins that we're getting in our leafy greens, we don't even think about. So when we commit ourselves to eating more of that and blend it into a very balanced diet, we're getting an array of vegetables or vitamins that we didn't even think our vegetables were providing for us. So that's kind of a cool thing. And I feel like considering what our farmers and ranchers can do here in the state of Arizona and provide so much local produce, even though sometimes we're not as visible because the farms, especially our ranches, are way out there in the middle of nowhere, we really have access to more local food than we're thinking about. Because then on the flip side of it, and Russo Farms even has this, you have a market in the summer. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we operate a market like Memorial Day to 4th of July where the commodities that we have during that time period are watermelons, sweet corn. We do some of the green chilies. The Anaheim green chilies are really good and popular. We roast them. And then we trade out some other items with some other farms like tomatoes that we don't necessarily grow, but there's other farms in the valley that do. And when you were talking about the health benefits, it is important, especially if people are doing their New Year's resolutions, they're trying to add in a lot more of those nutrients. And as the prices of food in general are going up, you want to look for those commodities or those type items that have the higher nutrients by serving count so that you're not necessarily having to spend as much to get that nutrients that you need. So it's just another way to look at it. That
the value proposition is there. A lot of times, too, they say that if we will eat based on the season, so right now we're in the winter season, so what are our winter vegetables? And it goes back to your point that the density, the mineral density, the vitamin, all those minerals and vitamins are really good. And if someone wants to figure out what are the, you know, seasonal crops or seasonal vegetables, I always tell them to go to fillyourplate.org because we do have a seasonal chart for all four seasons. So, and that kind of helps with making sure that you're eating seasonally and always asking yourself, what fruits and vegetables should I add to my balanced diet?
Stuff yeah, like that. And the seasonal aspect goes into the same, like if you're trying to eat on a budget or look at those commodities that are might be a little cheaper, they're usually the ones that are in season because you're not having to haul them across state lines to get them, or, you know, they're not coming, you know, across the border or anything. So it's,
and so we know our leafy greens right now are in season and we need to be eating
yes,
more of them.
Yes.
So in your own diet, what are some of your favorite recipes? What you say you eat what you grow. So talk about
yeah,
your diet.
I mean, I really like cauliflower right now is a big one. Like I said, you can add it into your smoothie. They have those riced or crumbled ones now that are really easy. And I really just like a basic wedge salad, honestly, an iceberg wedge. I just think it's such a classic. I'm not a big blue cheese dressing, but I'll put it with ranch dressing. And then, so, I mean, you're not getting as healthy, but you're still adding in that
it's at least veggie. Having you eat it. So
yeah. And then I, like I said, I really like the smoothies because it doesn't actually take that long to do it either. People sometimes are like, oh, food prepping or doing a smoothie in the morning. It's pretty easy. It's actually easier than making, you know, an egg burrito or whatever. You're just putting everything in the blender. The hardest part is cleaning the blender afterwards. But you can mix any of these items in something like that. And then kale, I think I've mentioned before, but kale, a lot of people don't like kale, but I found that if you just kind of saute it and you put it with some soy sauce, it's like really good made that way. It's just, I really like it.
Well, the thing with kale with me, it's chalky.
Yeah.
And by itself, it's like trying to swallow it. But, I mean, yeah, you do have to kind of lighten it up a little bit. I know of a place in Scottsdale that does this kale salad with smoked salmon and homemade hummus. Mm. And I can eat that all day. It's
right.
Outstanding. The last time you were on the show, though, y'all mentioned how salad has now permeated into the breakfast table.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a restaurant in town that I love to go to. They do a what they call a skinny, which is egg whites, chicken, sausage, but they'll put a mound of greens with their vinaigrette on there.
Mm.
Maybe once or twice a week I'll have that. It's awesome.
That sounds delicious.
That's
Yeah, I think kale, the trick to that is just chopping it up really finely and mixing it in a salad with other greens. And then it doesn't have that chalkiness. And then obviously the dressing, like you mentioned, just really changes it up a little bit. You just have to get a little creative, Romy.
You have to add so many things you can't taste it.
There you go. I mean, it's like when you have kids, you have to just sneak that stuff in.
Right.
So that they don't know that they're having the green stuff.